everybody. It's your favorite part of the Who Would Win show. No, it's Ray. Anyway, Who Would Win show has a Patreon, and if you'd like to check it out, you can find it at patreon.com/whowouldwinshow. Join in if you'd like to vote for future characters, talk to the infamous boardroom, and catch videos you can only find on Patreon, like outtakes or our bonus segments, Thunderdome, and the Third Degree. You can even join for free and get a heads up on our next battle before everyone else. If that sounds like something you'd like to be a part of, just go to patreon.com/whowouldwinshow and take your place in the conversation. Now, I got a battle to go win. I'll see you Rainiacs on the other side.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome. I am Sam Proof on all the socials. Our guest today is Ray Carcillo, stand-up comedian, voiceover artist, and the host of Geeks Who Like Sports podcast. How's it going, Ray? Welcome. It's going to be weird. Two Rays in one place. How you doing?
Yeah, Ray squared today. No, I'm doing well, Sam. Yeah, I'm really excited for this. I've been prepping all week, getting ready to take on the other Ray. I know how formidable he is as an opponent. But I feel that I'm particularly proud to be repping Link today. I am wearing my Ocarina of Time t-shirt.
Perfect.
One of several that I own. I am ready and rip-roaring to go, buddy.
Cool. Now, what made you choose Link?
You know what? I'm a huge Legend of Zelda fan. Obviously, I've been playing the game since I was a kid. I've played every mainline game. I have the Hyrule Compendium. I've studied. I'm one of those people who, whenever he finds a free moment, argues the validity of the timeline of where all the games fit online and really go into the deep dives. But I'm not going to lie. I'm kind of excited because this is definitely I feel like Sung is going to be a bit more formidable than Ganon typically is in the game.
Sure.
So this should be fun.
Awesome. All right. It's time for the Tale of the Tape. This week's Tale of the Tape is brought to you by Joe's Morgue in Culver City. At Joe's Morgue, you stab him, we slab him. And now, Link is the main protagonist of the Legend of Zelda video game series. He first appeared in the original NES classic, The Legend of Zelda, in 1986, and was created by video game legend himself, Shigeru Miyamoto. On the other side, we have Sungji Woo, who is the main protagonist of the manga and anime series Solo Leveling. Sung was created by Shungong. Man, I don't know if I pronounced that even remotely correctly, but we'll pretend that we did. It was first published in 2018. Now, both characters come from very different types of fantasy worlds. Link is typically found in Hyrule, which is a magical land of monsters and mystery, while Sung lives in a world not totally unlike our own, with notable exception being that there are these dungeon portals that just appear for heroes to delve into and crawl through. I mean, that's what are you going to do on a Saturday night? Sounds great. In each of their own ways, both characters are on an RPG-style track, starting with next to nothing and coming out the other side as great heroes. Now that we have the basics for both characters, let's officially introduce who you will be debating tonight, Ray. It's Ray! Again, yes. Ray squared, Ray Cicadas. Welcome back. How's
it going? I feel like I should have my own theme music. Like,
I think, you should do it.
This is the show I am majorly a part of. Our guest gets this great introduction, and then you're basically like, and we open
also
the cage
guy.
And let out the gorilla.
Yeah,
what are we doing?
You need your Eye of the Tiger moment.
I need to find some great music maker out there. Now, look, we have the great Who Would Win theme music for the commercial bumpers, the intro, the outro. And we actually went away from that on the previous Who Would Win show, and that was a mistake. I thought that new music was going to slap harder than it did, and then it came out, and it was like letting a big wet fart into the room. I have reverted back to our old previous music because I commissioned it. I own it. I'm using it.
Right. You pay for it.
That's good enough for me. Yeah. I don't know why I'm taking this particular tact on all of this. I am excited about this battle. I love a good video game battle. I love a good anime battle. I hope people will tune in for them. But Solo Leveling is a show that caught my interest because it was the number one most watched anime of 2024. This is the new
worldwide?
Freshness. Yeah, on Crunchyroll. It was their number one most streamed. Yeah, which counts for me. As a complete noob and layman who hasn't been heavy into the anime community in like 20 years, probably, but I do like me a good cartoon. Oh, I just made a bunch of people mad. That's okay. And Sung Jin-Woo is a very interesting character. Solo Leveling has some of the most uneven storytelling of any anime I probably have ever seen, but it's interesting. It's never not interesting. You know, whether they're going like real life stuff in the drama or they're going inside the dungeon portals to like fight all the monsters, it's always got something interesting going on. Even though his power level spikes in crazy amounts in short periods of time, right? Ray, you're nodding. You've seen the show. You know what's going on.
I know enough of it. Yeah, it's really, like you said, he goes from baby steps until then suddenly he beats a dungeon, and then now he's slaying gods, basically. That's or godlike beings. It's just, it's crazy.
As you do.
I like a slow burn, and this is more like a Roman candle.
Yeah.
Nice.
But it's great. And Link, of course, Legend of Zelda, was one of the first video games that really, like, dropped my jaw back when I was a real little kid. Just an amazing thing. And believe it or not, they're still making them. I don't know if you guys know this.
Yeah.
They are still making Legend of Zelda games. Tears of the Kingdom
and
that
dies.
Whole crowd are phenomenal.
Yes.
No, I mean, look, and I love them all. And I do understand there are split and multiple timelines. I love that you brought that up. I learned that previously researching the character before. And it's so weird. And there's people that care so much about it. And
I'm one of them.
Nice.
That's why you're here repping this character. We ask you on Who Would Win Masters, what character do you want to rep that you feel passionate about? I don't need people, you know, half-butting it over here. I want people to bring the heat, and that's why I'm excited to have you on, to have Link on, to be doing this today.
All right, Rays, get ready. Here are the rules for the Who Would Win Masters in 1 minute. Here are the rules of Who Would Win Masters in 1 minute. There will be 3 timed rounds with counterpoints allowed. 2, characters will have no prior knowledge of their opponent and no outside interference will be allowed. 3, keep the character in character. Outliers and crossovers will be given less weight. 4, battle can be won by death, knockout, battlefield removal, or incapacitation. And 5, after the battle, I will give my unofficial opinion as to who wins and why. However, I am just one voice in this. It will be up to all of you on our social media and our Patreon to make your voices heard as to who won. Ray, as the challenger, you will go first. You will have 3 minutes to make your first point. 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
Well, so I think the first thing that people don't think of the most when they think of Link, but he is an expert swordsman, right? He is one of the greatest swordsmen of all time in just, not just Hyrule, but in video games in general, right? He always finds a way to, when he needs to upgrade his skills with the sword, he is able to. And it's not just the Master Sword, right? He's had giant swords, he's had Goron swords, he's had a variety of swords. He has made little dagger looking like swords, able to banish the darkness, destroy moblins, lay waste to the forces of Ganon in Hyrule, right? He can obviously shoot upward, shoot downward. He can shoot magical beams out of his sword in several games when he's at full health. He is an expert swordsman. And not only is he a swordsman in every game that is phenomenal, but in several games, he is learning it from the previous Links who came before him. Because, of course, who don't know, of course, in The Legend of Zelda, is that Link basically is constantly being reincarnated in most of the timelines. And what ends up happening is that knowledge is getting passed down either indirectly or sometimes directly from literally, like in Twilight Princess, where literally the dead hero Link from that lost in that timeline is teaching the Link in that timeline how to be a better swordsman. Right? So he is literally having generations of sword knowledge in one being at any given time. So it is going to be difficult for Sung, even with his own swordsmanship mastery, to catch Link off guard. Again, not only that, but he also, his sword, his primary sword, the Master Sword, is used to seal back the darkness. It is literally something that seals evil and seals demons and seals darkness, which is where Sung tends to thrive in, right? So you have this, you literally have the antithesis, a hero of light, a hero of time, who has been able to learn as many possible skills that you can imagine that with a sword, not to mention his also his ability with his shield, to that any threat that comes his way, he is going to be able to cleave them in half. He is going to cut their heads off. He is going to absolutely
30 seconds remaining.
Nothing that Sung can throw at him sword-wise is going to phase Link because he has seen it all and he can do it all. And again, all he needs is again, doesn't matter if it's the Master Sword, the Giant Sword. If it's a sword, Link can handle it. And Link can handle it better than anybody you see out there in games or in geekdom in general.
All right. And Ray, it is now your turn to make your point number one. Again, 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
Okay, I love the fact that you talk about Link being a swordsman. I love that you talked about the Master Sword. I'm sure we'll hear more about that later on. And I loved your angle about fighting darkness, because despite the fact that Sung is a protagonist hero of this world, he does, and I'll deal with it in a later point, but he deals in dark magic and necromancy, which is incredible. But let's not pretend Link is one of the greatest swordsmen in video game history when you have characters like Ryo Hayabusa from Ninja Gaiden walking around. Please, there are about 10 different swordsmen who I would consider way, not even just like not kind of better, way better than Link. And so I would put a little bit of a damper on that a little bit. Now, strength-wise for Sung, he is very, very strong. One cool thing about Sung is he uses daggers, a matching pair of daggers, to do a lot of his damage. That's one of his main go-to weapons. And he does that not because he can get a lot of power out of them, but because it allows him to do more targeted strikes and move very, very quickly and use his very strong speed attack when he's not carrying around a lumbering blade. I would argue that Sung Jinwoo is going to be a lot faster than Link. We'll get into that in just a moment. And that the way he uses his daggers to hit weak spots is pretty phenomenal. I don't know that Link can hang in that. He does a lot of damage to huge and well-armored opponents by picking out those weak spots. Now, he can also use a speed boost to, in short but lethal bursts. And by that, I compared it a little bit to Vats from the Fallout series of games. He can actually like seemingly slow time for a moment in his brain, pick out the spots he wants to hit, go back to real life, and then go zip, 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 and hit them all. Or like, what do you call it? Deadeye from Red Dead Redemption 2. That kind of a speed burst is how he can open any kind of exchange that he wants to. He's so incredibly fast that often his attacks cannot be tracked with the human eye. In fact, one time he cut off a guy's leg before the guy even knew he was being attacked. That's a high level of speed that I don't think Link has to deal with on a main basis. You say he's a great swordsman. I died to an Octorok in 1986. You tell me what's going on. As far as durability for Sung goes, he went from getting wiped by like three goblins to taking massive amounts of damage and never even showing it. And he did that over the course of a handful of episodes.
30 seconds remaining.
Yeah, it's a little uneven. I did say that before. Now, he has full regen ability. Unless the wound is fatal, he can recover from it. That includes lost limbs, and if his health drops below 30% in any battle, any further damage that he receives gets reduced by an additional 50%, because they really play up the D&D numbers of this show, and so there's a lot of saying, like, this doubles, this gets cut in half, da-da-da, and that's all phenomenal. And last point, I'm not going to lean on this part of him too much, but 27-year battle at one point. Fought a battle for 27 years.
And Ray, you have a 1 minute counterpoint with 60 seconds on the clock starting now.
Cool. So the first thing I want to mention is that you mentioned he's not the best swordsman in video games. He is one of the few swordsmen outside of the Soul Calibur series to join the Soul Calibur tournament. And I would argue there are a lot of phenomenal swordsmen in that series. So Link could easily hold his own with many of the great swordsmen, I feel, across video games. He might not be the best, but he's definitely up there. He is somebody who should not be thought lightly of. In terms of speed, you have to remember that several Links are able to slow time with several magical items. I will get into his items and abilities in my next point, but his ability to slow time by playing the Song of Time backwards in Majora's Mask is something that could definitely help him against a speedy opponent. Not to mention that even though Link doesn't use his sword or normally to do pinpoint attacks, although he can, the bow and arrow, and again, several of his items allow him to pinpoint certain locations just as well. And so although I feel this is a more even match than you might think, right?
All right, gentlemen, it was a strong starting match. We've got a lot of dark versus light, a lot of fast sword versus big sword. Yeah, if both combatants can slow time, it's a matter of who can slow time first, maybe. I guess we'll find out when we come back after this break.
When it comes to Father's Day, dads want steak. And there's still time to deliver uncompromising quality and flavor with delicious gifts from America's original butcher, Omaha Steaks. Plus, get an extra $35 off with code THANKSDAD when you shop at omahasteaks.com today. Hurry, there's still time to give dad something incredible for the big day. Shop now at omahasteaks.com and get an extra $35 off with code THANKSDAD. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details.
And we're back. It's time for our point number two. Ray, again, as the guest, you will lead us with 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
So the other thing that we have to mention, I mentioned it briefly in my counterpoint, is Link's items, Link's inventory. Now, I know Sung also basically has an infinite inventory, but so does Link. And I feel that Link always is able to find an item to get him through any situation, whether it's a hookshot, whether it's bombs, whether it's a healing potion. Should Sung actually get a hit on Link and get by his Hylian shield and get past his defense, Link can quickly heal himself with a quick sip or with a fairy buddy that's hanging out in that bottle. As soon as Link is too injured to continue, that fairy pops out, hits him with his magic automatically, back to full health, or at least majority health, depending on the game. Again, we mentioned bows and arrows, and we mentioned and that Sung, of course, is a creature of darkness. Link has light arrows, specific arrows, specifically to combat the darkness, to push it back to the shadows. Even should Sung counteract the Master Sword and its ability somehow, you have the backup abilities that, again, lean into the light. We've got a Cape of Invisibility. We have medallions that can cause earthquakes. We've got songs that can turn the weather on its head so that there's storms coming out of nowhere. We've got anything that you can think of, Link probably has a counter to it in his back pocket. Literally. Like, I mean, and I understand that in more recent games, the items have been pared down. But again, historically, Link has been able to, whether it's a simple boomerang, sometimes a boomerang that can, a gale boomerang that has a hurricane within its mist. Or sometimes, depending on the arena, he can pull a boat out of his back pocket. I mean, this is the kind of magic that we're dealing with here. And I think that it just gives Link such a massive advantage because anything that Sung throws at him, Link, somewhere in his history, in his backstory, he has that counter. He has that ability. Even if it's just as simple as a magical lantern. Right? Again, to light away the light of Hyrule, to wash away the darkness. Right? He's got hammers, he's got swords, he's got bows and arrows, he's got your typical damage dealing stuff, but again, he's got magical powder, he's got capes of invisibility, he's got things to also increase his defense, to make him a harder target, to make it more difficult for Sung, even with all of his shadow abilities, even with all of his abilities and his super speed and his own swordsmanship, that makes it that much harder to hit Link,
30 who seconds I admit, remaining.
At the start of any battle, Link is probably slower than Sung, but Link has things to counterbalance that to make him harder to hit, and therefore, a true threat to Sung that he has yet to face.
All right, not even using up all his time, a bold move by our guest. Let's see if it pays off. Ray, as our hometown team.
Call me a hero, Sam. That's okay.
I don't want to throw that over there. But yeah, it's time for your point number two. 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
Yeah, you know, we're going to talk about, you know, you think Link's going to have enough time to play the flute in the middle of a battle with Sung Jin-Woo, the person who will speed blitz you with daggers to death? He's just going to be like, hang on a second, Sung. I need to play a jaunty tune so I can reverse time. There's no chance that he has a chance to do that. And as far as equipment goes, we're going to talk about the power sets and some of the equipment, because you're right. Sung also has an unlimited inventory. He essentially has this like negative space in another dimension that he could put all his stuff, reach into a portal hole that he opens to pull out the thing he wants. Like, he's got an unlimited vault with all his gear in it. And, you know, one of the best things he rocks is the Demon King's daggers. It is a very potent set of daggers that up all of his stats. He also wears, I love this because this is just straight out of role-playing games, but he has a matching set of the Demon Monarch, a ring, earring, and necklace, and those up his stats by, I think, like 10% for each of them, which is phenomenal. It's very numbers-based solo leveling, which is weird because they don't really tell you what any of the numbers mean. And that's, I don't know, to me that makes it more fun. But he also has sort of one-off things to give him buffs or apply debuffs when he needs to in the moment. But talking about his powers, though, because Sung is immune to poison and status changes. So a lot of dirty tricks that Link is going to try to put on the books here, a lot of these kind of secret tactics aren't really going to work a character named Sung Jin-Woo, because he can pretty much negate any of that sort of status effects that get thrown at him. But Jin-Woo can also create illusions as well. And the main source of his power is something that, it's a term I'd never heard before I looked into it, Umbra Kinesis. Umbra Kinesis is the ultimate mastery of darkness and shadows, which allows him to become invisible on top of everything else. He is a master of stealth-based rogue combat, if you're a D&D fan. The backstab attack is sort of his good friend. And when he has a chance to hide from you completely in the shadows that he's manipulating, and then jump out at you with an insane speed rush fury with his super powerful daggers and hit you at all your weak spots, he makes short work of a lot of people that he faces. Not everybody, but quite a few don't really have a look at him. And Link is probably a cut above some of the chaff that he's gone after. But he's also big into necromancy. This bro Pokemons his fallen enemies and uses them in future battles against his next remaining set of enemies. And then he throws basically a Pokeball at them. And then he takes their souls. By the end of the series, he had 10 million Shadow Warriors at his command. That is outrageous. I'm not going to say he's going to send all of them against Link. He'll probably only need like 5 or 6 or 10. But you're not just fighting Sung insanely. You're fighting his army as...
All right, Ray, you have 1 minute to counterpoint. 60 seconds on the clock. Starting now.
You talk about him hiding in the darkness. Again, though, Link is an agent of light, and he is used to dealing with dark agents. He literally has a magical lens specifically to find things in the darkness, right? Specifically enemies. And he's fought the undead before, right? He's fought Stalfos Knights. He's fought plenty of things that are undead in Ganon's army. So the undead isn't going to bother him whatsoever. I mean, and again, you may have all these special tricks, but again, Link has so many that he can pull out of his sleeves. He also has stat-increasing abilities. He's got special gloves that increase his strength. He's got the Pegasus boots that increase his speed. He's got the rock feather that increases his leaping. Not to mention he's got the ice rod, the fire rod. He literally, I mean, that's the thing. There's so many items, it's hard for me to even remember so many of them because he can just pull it out any given moment. And it's going to be hard for Sung to move as he's frozen in a block of ice because Link just waves his ice rod and bam, there he is and he's stuck. And then Link can just chip away with the Master Sword as much as he wants. Sung has a lot of great abilities and Sung has a lot of tricks up his sleeve, but Link has a counter to every one of them.
All right. I mean, it's looking really even here. Everyone's turning invisible. Everyone's turning back time. The only real difference, possibly necromancy or a boat. We have seen vehicles take a major play before. Who knows? We'll figure it out when we come back after this break. right, Ray, it is time for your last point. Point number three. 3 minutes on the clock. Starting now.
So the final thing, of course, is that what we haven't talked about is that the main purpose for Link in most of his journeys is not just to save Hyrule, not just to save Zelda, not just to stop Ganon, but a lot of times to find the Triforce, right? The Triforce is the true final ace up Link's sleeve because it makes him unto a god, basically, right? It puts him on a level that, and it's a god of light, basically, right? And now, of course, we know the three deities that, of course, created it, that, from courage, power, and wisdom in The Legend of Zelda. But in many, especially the early games, Link's purpose is to recombine the Triforce and use the power of the Triforce to not sometimes just seal Ganon away, but to completely obliterate him from existence, right? And so if Link, like in A Link to the Past, gets the full Triforce together, which he's done before, and he could, for such a threat such as Sung, a creature of unfathomable darkness, he could simply wish him away as if he never existed. He can use the power of the Triforce, or Link, being the good guy that he is, probably wouldn't wish him away, but just would completely depower him and make him just no longer a threat. That would completely nullify him. Link is constantly in communique with gods and deities and beings of unfathomable power. And unlike Sung, who usually fights those guys, they're Link's best friends. He's hanging out with them. He's being like, oh yeah, I need some more courage. I need some more power. I need some more wisdom. Bam. He's got it. He's got this ability, especially again, if you're in the end game, to tap into an unfathomable type of power that has destroyed continents, that has both reformed and destroyed and then reformed Hyrule numerous times. And Link is constantly wielding that at the end of all these games like it's nothing. Now, again, he's thinking small potatoes because he doesn't usually have to. All he has to do is, I'm going to seal the Dark World. I'm going to get rid of Ganon, and everything else will work out fine. But if Sung gets in his face, if Sung is truly that great threat, he's just going to make Sung disappear. And then the Triforce will scatter again, and then he'll be fine. You know, it'll go its separate ways like it always does. But the fact that Link has this, you know, this Deus Ex Machina basically in his back pocket at the end of every game, I mean, if Sung is the end game
for
any kind of confrontation, Link doesn't have to worry because he's got it. He's ready to go. He calls on the three goddesses. He's like, hey, this guy is threatening me, threatening Zelda, threatening Hyrule. He goes full Jersey on him, basically. He's like, I'm going to make him disappear. Boom. Sung is thrown in the back trunk of a milk cart or something in Hyrule and never to be seen again. It's an easy win because at the end of the day, he's a better swordsman. He's got all the items, and he's got the item. He's got the Triforce.
All right, Ray, your final point. 3 minutes on the clock, starting now.
Was not expecting you to say that Sung Jin-Woo was going to go Jimmy Hoffa against Link and end up being buried in Yonder Giant Stadium. That's a little bit outrageous to me. I question a little bit of motivation here because Sung Jin-Woo is all about fighting strong people, fighting strong characters, upping his own strength, getting the XP. He doesn't, from what I've seen, I've watched the first couple seasons. He doesn't really seem to care much about the monsters or people he's fighting. Only does he respect them enough to add them to his own army. And I think Link specifically is tied to Ganon as far as this cosmic thing with the yin and the yang and the two of them having a battle over the centuries. And I just think in a battle that isn't against Ganon, I don't know that Link is going to call out his most powerful attacks, that he's going to necessarily, quote unquote, go there, if you will. But let's talk about some of the feats of Sung Jin-Woo. This might take a second. He has combat mastery well beyond his years because he could basically order combat mastery from a catalog. And that's what he does, is that he just keeps upping his stats, getting new attacks, getting new abilities. He just gains new powers with simple power-ups and fighting moves. It's incredible. He also gains a Borg-like ability from Star Trek to resist attacks after he's been hit by them once before. He sometimes can completely slough off an attack. Other times, he at least gains a pretty good resistance or immunity to it. Look, this is a guy who became known in this world eventually as the second monarch. He's the only monarch who fights to save humanity. The rest are sort of these, like, listless gods who are all trying to kill and wipe out the humans and who just haven't gotten around to it yet. You know, it's not, I guess, not from lack of trying, but you get the point. He's the one that's actually humanity's savior. And he goes around, Sun does, killing the strongest characters in his own realm, often with his bare hands. He defeated somebody named Thomas Andre, who was revered as the world's strongest hunter, with his fists. He beat the guy into submission. He could also create portals. I mentioned he could create the portals for his gear. He could also create portals to move around if he needs to, and create portals to trap Link in forever if he needs to, or at least long enough to win a battle. He can go across different locations and different dimensions. And this is a big deal. As far as his regeneration goes, and the fact that he has that Borg-like ability I just mentioned.
30 seconds remaining.
He got hit by an attack called the Breath of Destruction, which erases things from the universe, and he tanked it. It didn't put him down. So even if you try this Triforce ability, he's dealt with it before and came out the other end and have a sandwich. Final thing to mention, at the end of Solo Leveling, Sung Jinwoo was so powerful. He was strong enough to destroy the Earth with just his presence. His vibes could blow up the Earth.
All right, Ray, you have 1 minute for your counterpoint. 60 seconds on the clock. Starting now. Wait, now.
So you mentioned he could trap Link in portals and dark dimensions. Link has been eating dark dimensions for breakfast almost since day one. He's got mirrors. He's got magic. He's got, you know, ocarina songs. He's got a variety of things to escape all of those dark dimensions. Not one has been able to hold him down, even when the one turned him into a bunny rabbit for a short period of time. So I'm not worried at all about Sung just sticking him in a portal, right? I will say him being able to tank certain things definitely is a concern. But again, Link has so many of such a variety of ways of things. He could build something new. Now with Tears of the Kingdom and Breath of the Wild, he could literally build something that Sung has never seen before. And at least, again, he's got to face it once before he can figure out how to tank it. If Link can come use the power of his imagination, I know we've always said Sesame Street here, use the power of your imagination to come up with something that he can untank him with, then I think it's going to be an interesting finish there between the two of them, for sure.
All right, and Ray, as always, you have the final word, so have at it.
Love this battle. I didn't even realize how much I love this battle until we were halfway through doing it. I didn't even put together with Link being a champion of light, a very Alan Wake-esque character in his own way, with Sung Jinwoo, despite being a great hero and humanity's savior. I love the fact that they gave him the random power set of necromancy and shadow manipulation. You don't see that very often where a hero has darkness as his deal. So this ultimately puts us down with a light versus dark conundrum. And obviously, whenever light meets dark, dark always overcomes. I think that's been well established in all of fiction, if not the real world that we live in today. Darkness is the one presence that we could all agree is everywhere. But that being said, I love some of the points that you made. I don't think you have a great answer to the portal argument. I don't think that Link's greatest attacks specifically would get necessarily used, or that they would necessarily work to their full completion against Sung Jinwoo. And I think the speed factor, in my mind, what separates these two, besides they have vastly different power sets, similar equipment, similar weapons, you know, enough. They're not, one of them doesn't have a ray gun, you know, that's fine. But when we talk about the stats, I think Link has a lot going on for him, but he's still just a young adventuring lad. Where Sung Jinwoo, over the course of like 10 episodes of Solo Leveling, becomes a full-on man. You know what I'm saying? He's just too fast and too strong. And I think these are areas that, while Link is impressive, and even more impressive, thank you, Ray Carcillo, than I even gave him credit for, and I've repped him before. I have to say, I do believe that Sung does, in fact, get this win, but heck of an effort for Link. This might be one of the closest fan votes we've ever seen.
All right, guys. Rays, if you will. This was an insanely close match. I had no idea this would be as close as it was. I thought going into this, I had a clear idea of a Victor, but every single point, light versus darkness, stat for stat, blade for blade, these guys could not be more matched. It was insane. And I'm immediately deferring to our studio or our non-existent studio audience, our digital audience, to really lay into this with their opinions. But I'm going to say this. I will say that the winner slips by in a wish and a prayer, but the Triforce, from what I know, responds to the heart of the user. And as Ray pointed out, which nice tension because you're both Ray, would Link go all out on an opponent that is not Ganon? And even if he did, our winner survived the breath of destruction, erasing everything from the universe? What? I think for that alone, I have to call this for the Shadow Monarch, Sung Jinwoo. But that is just my opinion. You out there in digital worldwide webland, it is up to you to voice your opinion on our social media and our Patreon and let me know what you think, who won this battle. Ray, thank you so much. I'm sorry I couldn't give Hyrule the win on this one. It was so close and it almost came down to the boat for me. But next time, maybe use that 10 seconds, I guess.
Yes, I know. I left 10 seconds on the board, and I don't know. Yeah, the King of Red Lions could have maybe helped me out a little bit more here. I could have called on Spirit Tracks. Maybe I could have called on a few other things.
Yeah, literally every sentence, round for round, I was like, oh, no, clearly it's no, it's not. It's not. Guys, this was insane. I mean, it's a coin flip almost.
Yeah, all no, right. It was a tough battle. Yeah. It was a good battle, you know. I mean, look, Sung's got a lot of abilities, and it's almost like, yes, again, kind of like to Link. Link is very much almost like a counter fighter, right? A counter offensive, right? So I think that's why it kind of actually works well. But I don't know. I guess I didn't have enough counters for all of his adaptability, which is tough to overcome. So
yeah. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you come back to rep another hero in the future. And everyone, go check out the podcast. All right, and from Ray to Ray, from coast to coast, we go to our in-house Ray, Ray Stecanus. That was just the superest, closest of super battles. How do you feel?
I don't like how difficult this battle ended up being. I walked in the door, I won't lie, being I've got this in the bag 11 times out of 10. I got the guy from Solo Leveling. I love Link in The Legend of Zelda as much as the next guy, but obviously Sung is going to wipe the floor with him. And then Ray came out and hit me in the mouth with a haymaker like 30 seconds into round one and knocked me backwards into the ropes. And I'm like, I think this one's actually going to be a slobber knocker. Who knew? I do want to say right now that I don't know that we can ever have another person named Ray on the show. I got confused and I'm on the show and I know who all these people are. I feel terrible for our listeners who maybe we'll just, you know, we have another name for Ray Carcillo when he comes back. Maybe we'll just like call him Josh. So right. It'll be Ray and Josh. I think it'll just be a lot easier to follow.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned. I mean, not that you can really not tell the two of us apart vocally. But that was very confusing, and you used it to your advantage, Samproof. Don't you think I didn't notice you being clever with the way that you were using our names, and we don't know who we're talking about. No, this is the first battle of the new Who Would Win Masters show that I am nervous how the fan vote is going to go. I felt pretty confident in the first battles that we've done here. And I sit back now and I go, I don't know. The people might not be on board. I wasn't sure Sam Proof was going to be on board. I knew it was going to be a razor-thin.
It was close,
margin.
Man. Yeah, I don't begrudge anyone out there listening to this episode that tells me I'm wrong. Any of the previous episodes, if you came out against my opinion, you're wrong. But this one, I'll take it. Like, I could have flipped a coin. It was either way. It was so, so close. Razor thin margin on this one.
We don't ever have a draw in these Who Would Win battles, but this could have been the one you might have just done it and let the people decide without you having to worry about it. But we don't like to let you off the hook, Sam. We're not going to do that in your favor. We're going to do that against you every single time. I do want to say, great job, Ray Carcillo, coming in like a champ. coming in and really bringing the heat today. And that's the kind of energy we're looking for. If you out there are listening and you think you can do what Ray just did, by that I mean lose to me, I think that you should get a 1 minute demo together of you just representing or talking about your favorite character. Show us that your audio quality is good. Show us that you can bring the heat in a debate. And send that 1 minute clip, 1 minute demo to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. Sam, I mentioned it again. I want to make sure I say it too. We're starting to book up the people to come on this show, and we're going to have a bunch of new people that have never been on the show before, even the old version of the show. And that's got me very excited. I cannot wait to dip my toe into the pool of you and get all wet. Nope, that felt gross.
Yep,
but that's
hit the
how I feel when
yourself.
I have to talk to commoners. So,
don't it like
it. It is what it is. Sam, before I get in any more trouble, get us out of here.
Yeah, thanks for listening, and absolutely make your voices heard on our social media and our Patreon. And I've been Sam Proof. You can find me in all the socials as Sam Proof, except TikTok, where I'm official Sam Proof. If you think you've got what it takes to be a part of Who Would Win Masters, record a 1 minute demo of yourself and send it to whowouldwinshow@gmail.com. Who knows? Maybe the next time you'll be the one in the challenger's chair fighting face to face with Ray or computer screen to computer screen. For Who Would Win Masters, I am Sam Proof. Stay strong.
When Optimus Prime died.
Or the days when every series had a ham-fisted anti-drug episode.
Or when you wrote fan fiction about how the Animaniac were so hot in that water tower so they took off all their clothes and they started...
No!
Different podcast.
This one is Knowing is Half the Podcast, a show devoted to the best and worst animated memories of your childhood.
Every week we recap a cartoon from the past to see if they're as good as you remember.
They're not.
What are you talking about? They're great!
You're both wrong. None of them get good until they're in a water tower.
No!
And Knowing is Half the Podcast.
Sup, everyone. Brian here, host of the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast. It's a trivia-style podcast focusing on TV and movies. Listen in for questions like, what's the name of Michael Scott's screenplay? What do you say to view the Marauder's map? What are Tony Stark's last words to Thanos in Avengers Endgame? And where does Ron Burgundy say he is when he calls the news station sobbing from a phone booth? I've covered The Office, Harry Potter, Marvel, Will Ferrell movies, Lord of the Rings, and more, with even more on the way. So play along to the TV and Movie Trivia Podcast anywhere you get podcasts, and stay tuned for more trivia!